Well, we got quite a lot for you on this one. Quite a lot, not just from the national stage, but of course from the American Athletic Conference, how it impacts USF. We'll do it sport by sport in the fall for you in just a couple of minutes. Also, some big news from men's basketball. Seems like they're making a lot of news. Every time we do a show, we have something new from that squad, and this was great news as well. A few more items to tell you about and some programming notes, as we always give you. And Bulls Beat, once the season starts, is a daily show Monday through Friday. It's been Monday, Wednesday, Friday, which is the summer schedule. Well, since mid-March, as you know. And sometimes we fluctuate it depending on events. They don't warrant a full show sometimes, for example. And this case, definitely we're going to wait until Thursday. That's why we weren't on the air with the Bulls Beat Wednesday, because I knew this was going to happen, this being the American Athletic Conference announcing officially everything involving the fall sports. We'll get to all of them in this segment. We'll do it sport by sport. Not only the news, but kind of how that would look for the Bulls' sake. We'll also toss in some other things that have happened since our Monday show, all of which kind of affect the Bulls' schedule. As a matter of fact, all of the non-conference games, we now know what their respective leagues are doing, and we should probably start there before we get to the American, because it's something that is certainly worth noting. Now, this actually happened on Monday afternoon. It's what we speculated, if you listen back to last week's show and even Monday's show, involving the Big 12. There's still the door open for the Bulls to play the Texas Longhorns in Austin on September the 5th, simply because, unlike, well, first the Big 12 and the Pac-12, and then more recently the SEC, which all went with a conference-only football schedule, the Big 12 is doing the 9+1 model, so every team will play each other and then allow for one non-conference game. Now, there are two options for Texas when it comes to non-conference games. One is, of course, USF. Another is 2 weeks later, a home game against UTEP. Now, reports out of Austin are that the Longhorns will select UTEP as its non-conference opponent. That's not official. That's what the reports are, just passing them along to you. And naturally, if that is the case, the Bulls would have a opening on their schedule on September the 5th. That is supposed to be their season opener. The next week, we've already known, is canceled. In fact, it's off the Bulls' website because Bethune-Cookman is not playing football. The Mideastern Athletic Conference saying that it will not have fall football. Now, there is a chance that some teams in the league, such as FAMU, could just independently put together a schedule, which would maybe become a possibility for the Bulls. That is another big thing we'll touch on in a second. Now, this was the late news on Wednesday, and it certainly affects the Bulls, because the Mountain West Conference, although announcing it will let its teams play their 8 conference games plus 2 more non-conference opponents, opens the door for the possibility of Nevada staying on the Bulls' schedule. They did have 2 other non-conference games, both at home. One was a week 0 game. And if you go to the Nevada website, those games are already off their schedule, but so is the September 19th game with the Bulls. And here's why. The Mountain West Conference, this was late on Wednesday, in announcing that it will have an 8-game conference schedule with room for 2 non-conference games on each team's schedule should they choose to fill them, also said that all fall sports will not begin until the week ending September the 26th. And by the way, there are other fall sports, conference games only. So that means September 19th is off by ruling of the Mountain West Conference as a possibility for Nevada and anyone else, of course, in the Mountain West to be playing football. So if you actually go to the Nevada website, their first game is on their schedule, September 26th against San Diego State. They previous had 3 games, including the trip to Tampa, listed before them. Now, if you also look at their schedule, there are 2 open dates, October the 10th and November the 21st, and USF has games on both of those dates. The Mountain West also said that the, just like the American, we'll get there in a second, conference championship dates are right now kind of up in the air. It's either going to be December 5th, 12th, or 19th. They will announce the rest of it down the road. So, yeah, the Bulls, as we speak, don't have a game until September the 26th. That will happen at FAU. That game, that date, is all good. Conference USA saying that, well, essentially the same thing that the American said on Wednesday, which you'll hear in about 30 seconds. Now, needless to say, if the Bulls want to start their season before September the 26th, some games will have to be added to the schedule. And that certainly is something that I expect to happen. And of course, we'll pass any news along to you, including this little bit of news as we continue to update the show here on the Unlimited Unloaded page whenever we can with new news. One of Nevada's other two non-conference opponents, and again, all three of these games were before September the 26th, so right now they wouldn't be able to be played on the date. But one of their opponents is not going to play football. The Big Sky Conference, the latest FCS league to make that step. And so Cal Davis is not on Nevada's schedule. So if everything was flexible, that's good news because Nevada only has 10 opponents now, with USF being one of the two non-conference opponents. But again, the dates don't line up, so something's going to have to change for that game to be played. But a little bit of news worth noting. A big bit of news worth noting is that 110 football players, yeah, check out the article on GoUSFBulls.com, are going to report for the second Jeff Scott football practice. It won't be with pads until early next week, but fall camp begins. Again, spring practice consisted of one back in March. 5 months later, here we are, and I will be there on Friday, and we will change things around as far as our coverage goes. More on that in our second segment. Now to the American's official announcement. You can read the whole thing at theamerican.org. Essentially, let's start off with football and go from there. The overarching theme of the league is the conference schedule and then allowing its schools to set up non-conference games however they want, as long as any opponent follows the guidelines and protocols set by the American's COVID-19 Medical Advisory Group. Commissioner Mike Oresko saying the health and safety of our student athletes is our top priority, and with the guidance and advice of the Medical Advisory Group, which has done an outstanding job developing health and safety protocols, we have developed a collaborative and comprehensive plan that will allow us safely and reasonably to play our fall sports. End quote. And by the way, this was unanimously agreed to by all the ADs and the senior women administrators in the conference, and it was announced officially for football. Conference competition will begin on September the 19th. Everyone will play their 8 games. Non-conference games can be played at the discretion of the individual schools, with the understanding that the opponents will strictly adhere to the protocols and standards for testing, pre-game, in-game, and post-game operations, again, as set by the league's advisory group. They have also allowed for the need to potentially reschedule regular season games. That's why, as part of the announcement, that the American Football Championship will be played on either December the 5th, the 12th, or the 19th, obviously the 19th in the case of a bunch of rescheduling. So how does that affect the Bulls and their conference schedule? It stays the same as it is. And if you're curious, October the 3rd would start things off at Cincinnati, followed by the first home conference game, and that happens to be homecoming, October the 10th, against ECU. Then a trip to Philly to play Temple on the 17th, back home on a Friday night, presumably to play Tulsa October the 23rd. Trips to Memphis and Houston back-to-back to kick off November. Then November 21st at home against Navy, followed by the Black Friday, that's November the 27th, Warren I-4 game against UCF. So essentially nothing changed. And there's some other things and aspects to the games and the football team, obviously, when it comes to fans in the stands, and we'll continue to address that. But as far as the football schedule goes, from a conference perspective, nothing added to the schedule. There was a chance, of course, of a 10-game full schedule, but instead it's the 8+. Actually, one team today got the plus all the way up to 4. We'll update that for you in our second segment here on the Unlimited Unloaded page. But let's get to the other fall sports, and we're actually going to have games that pretty soon we can announce broadcast. We can't wait to be able to bring you play-by-play. That's why this month on Bulls Unlimited 2, we've been doing season openers from seasons past. Now, it's all been football. On Monday, we're going to start to sprinkle in games from the past, well, few years, namely the Bulls Unlimited era. This will be starting off our 4th year, so we have 3 seasons of basketball openers, a couple of soccer games, even volleyball in there. Interestingly enough, the volleyball team started off the 2018 season against San Jose State, at that time coached by Jolene Shepherdson. Well, we got some news on Jolene Shepherdson, by the way, a 5th future volleyball player added to the family. That's right, they welcomed in their 5th child, they being Jolene and Aaron. Welcomed in Melanie Charlotte Vernita Shepherdson earlier this week. In fact, the USF Volleyball Twitter page put out a beautiful photo of the Shepherdson's and their new addition. So I imagine when I speak to both Jolene and Aaron, and we're going to try and get them on the show soon, this news obviously will delay my strength of my demand to get them on the show. But whenever there's a chance, and we'll talk about that. And of course, the upcoming schedule. We're actually going to have games on Bowls Unlimited. We can tell you we don't know the exact dates yet, but at least we can say it'll be early September, because as we might as well start off with volleyball since I mentioned it, and it's pretty interesting. This is the most tweaked schedule. Soccer pretty much stays the same as far as when games will be played, even though it's more strictly laid out, as you will. But volleyball, definitely a big change for the league in that. And we already knew that there would just be 11 teams because of UConn leaving the league. But it announced with this news on Wednesday that there will be two divisions, just like last year. But that means obviously unbalanced. This is the interesting part. You're not going to play anybody from the other division. So the East, which is naturally the Bulls, along with UCF, Cincinnati, which was last year's champion, but of big note, graduated Jordan Thompson, an incredible player, by far the best ever to play in the American Athletic Conference and a member of the USA national team these days. She is gone, but Cincinnati and UCF would stand to still be the top two teams in the conference by projections anyway. Then the other two teams are East Carolina and Temple. The West, six teams: Houston, Memphis, SMU, Tulane, Tulsa, and Wichita State. Now, I said the interesting part was you're only playing your division. The other part is, and this is a big change, you're going to play your two matches against the opponent in the same city. So there will be two cities that the Bulls head to play two matches. Again, within days of each other, you won't have to play them back-to-back. They're not going to have double headers because you do need at least probably a day in between games. UCF, Cincinnati, East Carolina, and Temple will be the possible four teams that two are going to come here to the Corral, and the other two is where the Bulls are going to have to travel. So everybody in the West, obviously with an additional team, well, that means there will be 10 conference matchups, but it's unbalanced, yes. But the way it's going to format for the conference tournament, it won't matter that it's unbalanced, because basically the top two teams from each division will advance to the conference tournament. That's a change from last year when, well, among other things, the regular season schedule, you did play everyone in your division, except the Bulls had UConn, so these were 10 games against the East, but you also played the other division once each. Well, the other change from last year is that the first conference tournament had six teams. That's not going to be the case. So it's the best two teams from the East, the best two teams from the West, and they will go to the Fifth Third Arena there at the University of Cincinnati. The Conference Volleyball Championship Tournament will be two dates, a semifinal and a final, November 21st and 22nd. Non-conference, and this really doesn't change. It's going to be soon that we find out what the schedules are, though. That's the interesting part, is starting off September the 1st. That is the very first date, and we could have, a broadcast for you, depending on what the Bulls do. Right when we get a whiff of the volleyball schedule, we'll pass that along to you here. But essentially, three weekends will be available for non-conference opportunities, according to the league, and that's less one what teams normally have, and that is to host or travel to multi-team tournaments slash events where you get in usually three matches per weekend. So that appears not to be any different. The only thing is we don't know what the schedule is yet, but it could begin as early as September the 1st with three weekends of non-conference play, and then again just eight league matches as opposed to 16 from last year, cut in half actually, and you play both of your matches against whichever opponent is in the same city. Now on to soccer, which, like, well, at least in the case of women's soccer, like volleyball, is something that could have begun and would have begun in August, but at least both men's and women's soccer can begin as early as September 1st, and we do know that both teams will have a conference match on the first weekend of September. In fact, we will start with the men because it's looking like you're going to have a similar setup all year long, with the men playing on Saturday and the women playing on Sunday, and the ability to add a non-conference match in sometime during the week with restrictions. Now, the change for men's soccer, we've already kind of broached this subject on the show with the loss of UConn to the Big East and Cincinnati, which disbanded the program. There are only six men's soccer teams. There will be a 10-match double round robin schedule. You will play home and away everybody in the league. That means UCF, SMU, Tulsa, Memphis, and Temple It'll be a home and home. We don't have the dates yet, but we probably will have them soon, since, again, the first one will be on Saturday, September the 5th. Now, once we get into football season, matches can be changed from that Saturday date if that same school is hosting a football game on that date, in which case it can be moved to Friday or Sunday. I would imagine that Sunday could lead to some women's doubleheaders, or maybe teams will just go with Friday. But here's the other part of it. The non-conference games, which I alluded to, which would be midweek games, which is kind of what we had. The only difference is every team has had a couple of weekends of non-conference games before league play start. That's no longer the case. League play will begin right at the start. And those 10 matches, I can tell you, are not going to be all that are on the Bulls' schedule. They will try and add as many midweek games as possible. And the catch is that midweek matches cannot be scheduled if an institution would have to go through the air and or have an overnight hotel stay. Simply put, the Bulls' non-conference schedule is going to be teams from the state of Florida. I had to correct myself from the early versions of Bulls beat when I said that the Gators are a possibility, momentarily forgetting that they don't play men's soccer, nor do the Seminoles. But, and really, this is not much of a change from the Bulls' non-conference approach. They've usually played teams like Stetson and UNF and JU, FGCU, FIU, FAU. So we'll look forward to some combination of those teams home and road for Bob Budhorn's men's team. I'm guessing that the conference schedule will be announced first, and then the teams will sort of fill in with the other non-conference slash midweek games. Now, conference tournament, and this is not a change for the men because with eight teams, there was only a four-team conference tournament. That will still be the same case, and it will be either November 12th and the 14th or November 13th and the 15th, essentially a semifinal and a final with a day in between, and the number one seed will host the conference tournament. On the women's side, like the men having a 10-game schedule, but it's five teams, two each, the women will have an eight-match schedule, which includes everybody once each. UConn leaving the league means nine teams play women's soccer. And again, that first weekend will kick things off in conference play, and they will play the women on Sundays beginning September the 6th. Obviously, there's nothing about conflicting with home football games because it's on a Sunday. The midweek match restrictions are the same. It has to be basically an in-state team, one that can travel by bus and will not require a hotel stay. This is the change when it comes to the conference tournament, though, down from six teams to four. And for the women, it will essentially be the prior weekend. So November 6th and the 8th, again, the number one seed hosting. So that is kind of a bit of a change for the league overall, although the Bulls, if you were in that fifth and sixth spot, you got into the conference tournament. There was a big battle for the last two spots last year. The top four were sewn up. Frankly, the USF soccer team is always in the top four when it comes to the American Athletic Conference and women's soccer, so we don't anticipate that change making much of a difference. Now, here's where the change does make a big difference, to me anyway. The women's soccer team usually has always has a beefy non-conference schedule, and frankly, the league itself doesn't always do a bunch to add to the strength of schedule, your RPI rating. When it comes to men, their league overall is stronger than the women's side, so that non-conference schedule was pretty important about building up your RPI. The Bulls now have to really try and hone in on teams that could help in that regard. I would say that the Florida Gators almost have to be on the schedule. FGCU is pretty solid as well, so I would guess those two teams will be on the Bulls' slate. Also, cross country, and it can begin September the 1st, and there's not a conference schedule when it comes to cross country. Obviously, you participate in meets, and you all build up to the league conference championship meet, which will be, by the way, October the 31st in Augusta, Kansas at the 4 Mile Creek Resort. And if you look at gousfbulls.com, nothing on the schedule yet for the Bulls, so that's something where I'm sure it's in the works behind the scenes. We had the USF Invitational last year. I would suppose that they try and host that again. They run there at the Claw for cross country. So we're going to have stuff happening as soon as September the 1st. Definitely that first week of September, which we're pretty excited about. Equally pumped for the beginning of Jeff Scott's first fall football camp, which is Friday. We'll tell you how that's going to impact our schedule And love seeing this early on Thursday morning from our own Vice President of Athletics, Michael Kelly, saying 2 years ago today, he walked through the doors of the Leroy Selman Athletic Center for his first day as AD. Says, thank you to our student athletes, staff, and all of Bulls Nation for this opportunity to serve. Keep your horns up. The best is yet to come. So it has been awesome personally working alongside of Michael for the last 2 years and hopefully many, many more. So basketball coaching news and a look around the conference. A lot of schedule updates from this Thursday to give you on our second segment of Bulls Beat. Just scroll down right now on Unlimited Unloaded.